I might have to wait a moment while I catch my breath. I've been assigned today to follow Lucian Hudson, Director of Communications at the Open University, to follow him around, assist in documenting, because they've opened up their G Plus account. The door may fling open at any point with somebody saying there's another meeting. You don't seem to slow down that much, and it's still early morning.
It's all go, and I enjoy it hugely. This is day 141 since I started at the OU in May, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. It is very busy, can be extraordinarily hectic. There's a lot going on. We're planning ahead for next year, 2012. It's going to be a crucial year for all universities, whole new funding regime. And we need to obviously be in a position where we promote the OU and show just how relevant it is and how distinctive it is and what it offers students.
The comms department here have had their fingers in a lot of pies for quite a long time. When a new platform crops up, they seem to be on it, using it, discovering it, finding out how the OU can leverage it in some way, I guess, by being a part of the conversations in all the different places. Where did you come from, and how does this all fit in with your history?
Well, I've been a communicator all my working life, 17 years in broadcasting, including 12 years at the BBC, doing a lot of international news, but also working with the BBC, particularly on how it can use digital communication, at which point I left the BBC and set up my own .com in 2000. That didn't go very far because the market crashed, but I was, I think, seen as suitably qualified to join government as its first ever Director of E-Communications. So for the first time ever, the UK government had a Director of E-Communications responsible for our strategy for all websites and our first government portal. And then I spent 10 years in government as a Director of Communications in three big Whitehall departments, including the Foreign Office, what is now the Ministry of Justice, and the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. Then for the past couple of years, I've been a consultant, and that put me more and more in touch, not just with government, but with business and civil society. And through that, I got to know a lot about the work of different universities and the work of the Open University, which I knew about right since my teens in the 1970s, just came forward as a real important option for me. I applied for a job, got it, and haven't looked back.
Wow, that's a whirlwind of a CV there. You talked about rural affairs there. Would that have put you working within the environment at the time of the foot and mouth crisis?
Exactly.
That must have been a challenge and a half.
Yeah, I was parachuted in at an hour's notice at the height of the foot and mouth crisis in April 2001, where things looked as if they were going badly wrong. It certainly was very difficult for the government to get on top of the crisis. I came in really to help with the communications. We struggled. Government was very unpopular, but even more unpopular was the disease itself. So we got to a position where people were more focused on what needed to be done, drawing a line over, you know, what was the reason for the crisis emerging in the first place, and then obviously getting all the support we need across government, but more importantly with the farming community, with the rural community, to make sure that we got the right measures in place to get ahead of the disease and ensure that we had better security, biosecurity, to protect farms and animals against disease.
It was an incredible time. I remember it as being kind of a fledgling newspaper photographer and being sent out to document this when we weren't allowed anywhere. I effectively was collecting signs, which were basically no access to this, no access to that. And I've got some haunting black and white images of empty, mist-covered farms with like biohazard signs on the front. A really quite scary time.
It was very difficult. I mean, hats off to all the people involved. I've never seen such a dedicated team at the then ministry. Unfortunately, we needed to revise and in some cases completely scrap a lot of the contingency planning we had in place because it wasn't enough to deal with that particular crisis. So it was not just us, but countries from across the world had to revise their contingency planning. And in hindsight, we could see what we could have done differently, but we learned from it. Mm. And now, even though we will get from time to time such outbursts, I think they'll be much more tightly controlled. And we'll act even faster on them. The legislation's in place, but also I think everybody, including the farming community themselves, are just, you know, learned from that and are better able to cope with future outbreaks if they should happen, and hopefully they won't.
Hopefully they won't, because there's a lot more restrictions now in the laboratories and to check their drainage, which I believe they trace the origins of the disease to a leaky drain pipe or something as tiny as that. Incredible. Well, that was a time before social media as such, as communication was still down to the fax machine, was it?
Not quite, but the world has really changed so much in the past 10 years. What looked as a novelty, as an innovation, has now become mainstream. And so in my time, certainly the government ceased seeing websites as just a space where you archive material, to seeing it as a place where you use information more proactively. And I think particularly in very recent years, we've shifted from just provision of information to engagement, hopefully meaningful engagement with users. And that's exactly what we're trying to achieve here at the OU. We've made our name by being innovative, by being cutting edge. We have many websites. My job partly is to put some sort of order or coherence around that, recognising that there's a limit to how much order and coherence you can put when you're developing a presence digitally. So as well as trying to make sure that the framework is clearer, we're also ensuring, and I think this is really important to me, that we engage more meaningfully with our different users, so that as well as pushing in messages and information out, we're addressing people on their terms, on the issues that matter to them.
And on their platforms, I imagine, and with more and more people using different places and spaces to have a conversation, it makes sense just to be there.
Yes, exactly. So it's a matter of not just being clear where we are, it's being really clear what else is out there and participating in it. And making a contribution, hopefully making a difference as well.
And that's what we're doing today. I was really interested when Ian Roddis said to me that he'd been talking to you and that you wanted to go one step further than the management photograph that you sometimes see when you walk into a reception and it's like, oh, that's what the person looks like. That's nice. I can put a human face to the person behind the scenes. This is 1,000 miles away from that, in the way, because we're almost exposing every little element. You almost let me read your emails then of what's going on in your day, and then sharing it in multimedia online. When you stepped into the Open University, I guess to a certain extent as an outsider coming from your different backgrounds, this is a different world altogether to a lot of the places I work. Did you feel, yeah, this is a place I can really get my teeth into? Or did you think, wow, there's still a long way to go?
I thought that OU is the place to be. And partly because in its past 41 years, it has been so pioneering, innovative.
It's been quite a rebel as well, as far as the government was concerned.
It was not always what people thought a university should be, but we've confounded the sceptics. And the people who have confounded the sceptics have been the students and the staff. And they've done that because they've shown that you can combine quality with flexibility. So it's almost like triumph and adversity. Whatever your situation in life, whatever your background, whatever your age, whether you have qualifications or not, you can set your mind to achieving more through your studies. And that is a tremendous liberation. It doesn't just reflect on you academically, it reflects on you as a person. And what I find when I go to all these degree ceremonies, and I've been to 9 this year, are countless examples of students, whatever their situation, deciding to focus on an area of study and gain that qualification. And that is just very inspiring, and it can be at any age. I think the OU has been sort of innovative, has been inventive. I think now it's becoming integral to how you drive this economy forward. More and more people may want to combine work with study, or combine study with other responsibilities. We are the leader in part-time learning. I think we can build on that. It is a changing and, if not unsettling, environment in higher education, not least for students themselves. But I think we continue to have this very strong offer, if not exceptional offer, that I think more people could take advantage of. And that's why us in communications want to do more to promote what the university is about, what it has on offer.
Lucien, thank you very much. I can see your schedule and it is jam-packed, so I'm going to let you get back to it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for yours.